The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on April 29, 1980 in Los Angeles, California. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 28.
Evang janang nipatitang prabhavahiku peka mabhikava manuya prapatang prasangat kritvatma satsa rashina bhagavan grihita sohang kathang nubishije tabavitya seva. This verse was written in Srila Prabhupada's prayer to Lord Krishna as he was approaching the United States on the Jaladut. And actually, Lord Nrisimhadev explains later that anyone who studies these prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, he's guaranteed to become a pure devotee. So each of the prayers is filled with so many instructions. This is also one of the most important, that Nrisimhadev, of course, is one of the avatars or incarnations of Krishna. There are not many gods, there's one God, Krishna. But he assumes different forms and different pastimes so that he can satisfy his devotees. So on days like Narsingha Chaturdasi, it is not wrong to also remember other of the guna avatars, juga avatars, lila avatars, like Varaha, like Trivikram, Vaman, like Matsya, Kurma, and so on. However, for the preachers, the form of Nrisimhadev is especially wonderful, because the preacher is actually trying to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. When we want to glorify the Lord, we can do that best by glorifying His favorite devotees. So today, being Narsingha Chaturdasi, let us first meditate upon the wonderful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj as a suitable means of glorifying Lord Nrisimhadev. Of course, the situation in which Prahlad Maharaj received the mercy of Narada Muni is known to all. Actually, Hiranyakashipu, his demonic father, had gone for austerity, and at that time the demigods, taking advantage, kidnapped his wife, who was pregnant, with the intention that as soon as the child was born, they would kill it. They would kill that demon. Of course, here we see, even though they intended to kill the child, they couldn't dream of abortion. This is a side point. They were going to wait until the child was born. They knew that in either case, the child was, you see, going to be killed. But the idea of killing within the womb of the mother, that didn't even apparently appear to their minds. So, however, they were stopped by Narad Muni, who knew that in the womb there was not a demon but a great devotee. And he took the mother and began to give spiritual instruction. Prahlad Maharaj, in the womb, was listening to every instruction given by Narada Muni and understanding. So when Prahlad Maharaj was born, he was already filled with knowledge of Krishna consciousness. So because of having that Krishna conscious devotional spirit. Right from the very birth, he was immediately at ends with his father. And every time his father would ask him questions, of course, he would always reply simply pure devotional replies, which infuriated his father, Hiranyakashipu, so he wanted to murder him. So, reminds us of Jai Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarka Dish, the determination that a devotee must have to preach, just like in Ram Leela. In Ram Leela, when Sita was being stolen by Ravana, then the bird devotee, Jatayu, he attacked Ravana to try to save Sita. He was no match. He was already old. He was no match for Ravana. But he couldn't stand idle seeing Sita being taken away. So, even though he knew that definitely he would not be able to be a equal match for Ravana, nevertheless, he attacked Ravana fearlessly, tearing his flesh, scratching with his claws and his beak to try to stop him from taking Sita. Of course, extremely embarrassed by this attack, Ravana was impeded from taking Sita. Furious, he took out his sword and he cut off the wings of Jatayu. Of course, Jatayu lived long enough for Ramchandra to come and get the message of who had taken Sita. The Srila Prabhupada instructs us that this mood of Jatayu, that irregardless of whether it appears that he will win or not win, the devotee simply carries out his duty, even if it means costing his life. We've seen the same determination here in Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, we're also seeing the same determination here in our midst. There have been some people who are saying that it is not possible to distribute any more books in America. Some such rumor has spread. In fact, it reminds me how Srila Prabhupada was told by his godbrothers that Lord Chaitanya doesn't mean that Prativite Ache Jato Nagara Adigram Sarvata Prachar Hoyebe Mor Nam doesn't mean that every town and village, it must mean something else. Every town and village in West Bengal or something, whatever, they couldn't exactly understand how it was possible by their vision that Krishna consciousness could spread to the West. So they just didn't want to accept verbatim Lord Chaitanya's statement. Similarly, sometimes we hear rumors that such and such place is burned out. No more books can be given out. Or you have to think of some alternative, comic books, something else. So, of course, we see in Jatayu that it appeared to be a hopeless cause. Similarly, it seemed hopeless cause when Hanuman went to Lanka, but he set the whole city on fire. Similarly, it seemed a hopeless cause when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, but he has also set the whole West on fire. Fire of Krishna consciousness. So, also Srila Rameshwar Swami, everyone is telling him, well, the BBT is finished. No more books can be given out. But he's also determined that Srila Prabhupada's order to double book distribution, how could it have been given if it wasn't possible? What to speak of that books are no longer to be given out. So we're seeing that same determination in our midst to carry out Srila Prabhupada's order. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was preaching under the most difficult conditions one could imagine. He was preaching and his father was ordering daily that he should be arrested. Not only arrested, but he was hung over a sheer cliff. You can just put yourself in that position, held by the neck, off of a practically bottomless pit. Give up, Krishna, or I'll cast you down in this hole. What do you say? Speak up, boy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That was his reply. Rah! Damn you! Disgrace to the demons! Krishna catches him. And again, Prahlad's back. How did you get back? Throw him in boiling oil! Throwing him, holding him over the oil. You can smell the ghee, you see, the oil. Mustard oil. Talk about being fried out. This will be the fry of all fries. You give up, Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now talk about deprogramming. Better not reveal this part to Ted Patrick. You see. And they throw Prahlad in the oil, he's swimming. You see. Indoor pool. Hot springs. So, of course, when all else failed, then Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to take the law in his own hand. And, of course, we know that the Lord so kindly satisfied Prahlad's prediction that the Lord was everywhere and everything, including the pillar. And he came out and killed his devotee, Bijay, who had taken the form of Hiranyakashipu, to all of the joy of the demigods. When he was fighting, then for a moment, he allowed Hiranyakashipu to escape. At that, the demigods became very afraid that they might be seen by Hiranyakashipu, and he might ultimately not be killed by Nrisimhadev, and then he'll be very angry at them. You see, this is the difference between a pure devotee and a sakam devotee or a devotee. The demigods are also devotees. The devas, you see. There are two kinds of devotees. Those who are pure devotees, niskam, and then there are the devas. The deva group, they are devotees with material desire, you see. The devas, they look toward the face of Krishna, and the devotees, they look toward the pada, or the lotus feet of Krishna, the pure devotees. So we can see that the devas who are still maintaining some material desire, they are also afraid. Material desire means fear. So although Nrisimhadeva was just playing with Hiranyakashipu, just like he plays with the demons, they, for a temporary time, they show some opulence, you see. They show some petrol dollars, or this dollars, or that dollars, for some time, and then they get destroyed. It's to delude them into thinking that they are independent. And then ultimately Krishna, he establishes his own devotees for the welfare of the world. Devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad, they have no fear. They know that if they simply pursue the instructions of their spiritual master, sincerely, that everything will succeed. This is the parampara system. Actually, if we meditate, you see, although Prahlad was born as a in the family of demon. Of course, in those days, demons were very cultured people. Today, we are born in the Kali Yuga, and innocent or demon or even devotee Everybody is practically uncultured. So they're engaging in the grossest type of mlecha or unclean activities. But just like Prahlad Maharaj patiently tried to instruct his classmates, similarly, the spiritual master, he comes, you see, apparently as another human being, like anyone else, like another classmate, another citizen. But actually, because he's empowered with the message of Lord Sri Krishna, he's not an ordinary person. He can change the lives and the destiny, which is otherwise unchangeable by anyone. So, in such a way, the spiritual master, he comes and he delivers the fallen souls from their conditioned life. Especially we've seen how Srila Prabhupada came to the Western countries where people are engaged in activities of passion, ignorance. And by his intense influence, he was able to attract the minds of the souls completely engrossed in sense gratification to Krishna consciousness. Now, when we talk about owing someone something, how can we evaluate or place a price on how much devotee is in debt, how much we are in debt to our spiritual master for giving us this spiritual life? Prahlad Maharaj, he saw Narasimhadev face to face. What does he say here to Lord Narasimhadev when he is offered everything? He says that, "I am only able to see you now because of the mercy of my spiritual master. Where was I without his mercy? So I simply request that I continue to be the servant of your servant." Sometimes a devotee has a tendency to be contaminated by materialistic vision. And that manifests by the grasshopper propensity of jumping over, trying to jump over the spiritual master. Here we see that Prahlad is seeing Krishna or Narasimhadev face to face. He could be thinking, "Well, thank you, Gurudev. Now I've made it. I don't need you anymore." Which would be some kind of materialistic understanding. But that's not his mood. Even he sees Krishna, he's not at all proud. He knows that why he's seeing Krishna, why he's seeing Narasimhadev, is due to my guru's mercy. In India, they like to ask the question that if you simultaneously say that you walk in a room and there you see your spiritual master and Krishna, to whom will you offer your obeisances first? What do you think? The spiritual master. If you're able to see Krishna, that is due to the mercy of your spiritual master. Therefore, he always gets the respect first. By his instruction, by his mercy, then we can serve. So, sometimes we see that in spite of Srila Prabhupada coming and delivering some fallen souls from the pits of ignorance, that neglecting all kind of common sense, intelligence, and good instruction, they become very eager to know more, or what they think is more, than their spiritual master. Of course, no one can know more than the spiritual master. But somehow, some kind of a hidden desire, some kind of a doubt, thinking that I know more, or there may be something else which is not being given, drives people on. So Krishna is known as the satisfier of all desires. And so for the cheaters, there's also someone to cheat them. So sometimes we see that this is especially dangerous for those who are engaged in the scholarly work, the Sanskrit department, Bengali department, due to lack of realization, due to lack of preaching and purification. They read something, and due to lack of reading Prabhupada's books very thoroughly, they see something which they think, oh, how does this is something new. Now I know more than everybody else. And subtly they're thinking, I know more than my spiritual master. And then you hear about, you know, even their names are after the names of son of Sachi, or this one or that one, names of Krishna. They neglect their spiritual master and take a position that they know more. So we can understand that it's just like back to a mouse. They obviously didn't understand this simple instruction of Prahlad Maharaj. Even he sees Krishna face to face, he's not thinking how great I am. He's thinking that this is the mercy of my guru. We become a little expert in our service, immediately think that how wonderful I am. We forget that how wonderful my spiritual master's mercy is, that it can make such a useless person as myself do something which appears to be even slightly useful in service. So Prahlad Maharaj is showing us very practically that we have an unlimited debt to pay. Those who are so unfortunate as to fall away into sense gratification, whatever they have done in their service, that will never go in vain, and they'll get another chance. But, as Lord Chaitanya said, if someone becomes envious of the spiritual master, who has selflessly taken extreme risk to simply deliver him from the worst condition of material birth and death, ignorance, if he becomes blasphemous or envious of that person, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, said, even then he gives him a chance. He will get a chance to have a spiritual master again after one koti kalpa. 10 million days of Brahma. He can get a guru again. He gets a chance. So one should not bite the spiritual hand that has fed the nectar of Krishna. If due to your extreme misfortune you cannot stomach it, the nectar, still you should not despise the person who is out of causeless mercy feeding it. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's shown that whether in the extreme danger and misfortune or whether in the extreme success, he was not intoxicated by fear or by success. No one can be in a more miserable position than he was in, you see, externally. Of course, because of his devotional mood, we see that there's no change. So where's the question of miserable or happy? But from that objective viewpoint, being thrown in boiling oil, being tortured by his father, what worse condition was there? But he was never intoxicated by fear. Even he sees God face to face, he wasn't intoxicated by success. He didn't once forget the words of his spiritual master. And what was his concern? Of course, he is also in our sampradaya. He is a disciple of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is our spiritual master. He is a preacher. His intention is to preach Krishna consciousness. He didn't like the sadhus who were interested simply in their own liberation. As he says here in Slok 44 of chapter 9, "My dear Lord Narsinghadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, mona vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet." Prabhupada explains that this is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can even go to hell and still be happy. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. So, the Krishna conscious movement has started in the interest of teaching the people Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, "We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy." The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation, where one will only make a show of meditation. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna one cannot be happy. Thus the Krishna conscious people avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. So this is the mood of the Gostyanandi. The devotee who takes pleasure in seeing the society of devotees increased. Of course, some people say that, well, you have to first of all be advanced, then you can do that. So let me chant until I become Krishna conscious, then I'll go out and preach. Where they find that in the scriptures, that no one knows. But it's an excuse for not preaching. But here we see that, of course, advancement means you simply try to follow your spiritual master. He does the rest. We see within that statement some idea that by my personal attempt, I'm going to become advanced. I'm going to step outside, sit in a secluded place, chant. When I get strong, then I'll follow my spiritual master's orders. Of course, this is foolishness. And Prahlad also says the same thing in verse 45:6. "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path of liberation: to remain silent, not to speak to anyone, to observe vows, to amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varnashram Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, japa, and to be absorbed in trance, samadhi. These different methods of liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered the senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful." So, I remember that Srila Prabhupada, he once told us that I'm not planning to become Krishna conscious or expect to become Krishna conscious by the expertise of my devotional service, by my skill in Sanskrit pronunciation, by my rising in the morning, I forget the exact examples he gave, but he said by following regular principles, by my service. Srila Prabhupada said that I'm simply depending on the mercy of my spiritual master. What can I do? But simply I am trying to carry out his order. By his mercy I will succeed or not. I'm simply depending on his mercy. Of course, the devotees of Nrisimhadeva, at first they were very afraid. No one could speak to Nrisimhadeva except for Prahlad Maharaj. But after Prahlad had appeased Nrisimhadeva, then Nrisimhadeva, he blessed Prahlad and he left. He left that place and he went to the holy Dhamma of Sri Mayapur. In Sri Mayapur, Madhyam Dweep, there's a place called Devapoli, Suvarna Bihar, and Narasinghapoli. Narasinghadev, seeing his eternal dham, tired from all the strenuous fighting with, of course, his tiredness is that's causeless mercy. His actual reason was he knew that his devotees wanted to serve him. They had no opportunity. He came, he was so furious, no one could approach him. Even Lakshmi was afraid. She had to stay in hiding. She never saw him so angry in her life. He was practically on fire. So now he has been cooled down, so he took rest at the hill, Narasinghapoli, bathed in the river, Suvarna Bihar, and all the demigods, they took the form of villagers and they began offering him nice foodstuffs and serving him. And he stayed and accepted the service of his devotees. Still today, on our parikrams, sometimes we go to the holy dham of Narasinghapoli, where Lord Narasingha accepted the intimate service from his devotees. The devotee, he gets the opportunity to worship Krishna face to face, to offer prasad directly, by the mercy of his spiritual master. He doesn't try to jump ahead on his own to serve the Lord directly. He simply tries to serve the spiritual master, and by that, in due course, by the mercy of the spiritual master, he will be elevated to that position. Just as the devotees of Nrisimhadev, they were elevated to that position. They could serve him directly in his dham. We shouldn't get impatient. I've been chanting, although we've been millions and unlimited a number of births, I think I've already been chanting 8 years and I haven't yet seen Krishna face to face. I have to do something special that Prabhupada hasn't said, that our spiritual master hasn't told it. Don't be tricked. They're like prostitutes. Some people, they try to say, come on, I have something to tell you that your guru doesn't know. I spit on your face! My guru knows everything! If anyone ever says that, you know he's the worst envious snake. We never hear from someone who says, isn't his opening statement, I have something to tell you your guru doesn't know. But in this material world, such envious snakes exist. And we just allow them to be destroyed by Krishna's chakra. Because we don't want to indulge. So we don't even look at their unfortunate, blasphemous faces. So unfortunate is someone if he gives up his guru. But we don't want to associate with such an unfortunate person. We are simply following in the footsteps of the great souls. Mahajana Janagata Sapuntha.
Their example is one. Mahajana is singular because they're all following the same principle. So long as the spiritual master is guiding one in his service to Krishna, can never be neglected. Prahlad Maharaj was a preacher. He dedicated his life to simply giving everyone the chance to become Krishna conscious. He didn't want to go back alone. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came down and he preached for 24 years. Of course, from 14 to 24, Navadvip, he constantly preached. As soon as he was born, he gathered the people to chant Hare Krishna, otherwise he wouldn't stop chanting, the crying. Then he went and he preached 8 years all around South India. Nor he went even as far as Maharashtra. He went to Vrindavan. He sent Lord Nityananda back to Bengal. You preach. You give my order to everyone from house to house. Every year devotees came down to Jagannath Puri and he had a huge Rath Yatra festival preaching. He sent Rupa and Sanatan to excavate the holy places in Vrindavan and write literature for preaching. Lord Nityananda Balaram personally, his whole life, simply preached, begging every person to accept the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If anybody gets any idea that Lord Chaitanya's movement has any other purpose than preaching Krishna consciousness, they are simply madmen for developing Krishna consciousness by satisfying Lord Chaitanya's mission. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions 13 kinds of bogus sampradayas. And most of them say that Lord Chaitanya didn't want us to preach for one reason or another. So we have to be very clear. What is the position of our movement? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, Mon tumi kishir Vaishnav, Nirjana Bhojanai. You want to go in a solitary place, mind, and then you want to be worshipped by people that, oh, he is solitarily worshipping, he's a great person. Prabhupada in his Bengali prayers to his spiritual master and Krishna, he describes that we will taste the nectar of the residents of Vrindavan in Sankirtan Rasa. In the midst of so many devotees chanting Kirtan, engaging in Sankirtan, then we will taste what is the nectar of Krishna consciousness. What is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, the Brajavasis? Not by solitary attempt. What does Nrisimha Dev himself say of Prahlad? Bhavanti purusha loke mad bhaktas tvam anuvrataha bhavan me khalu bhakta nam sarvesham pratirupadik. Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. In this connection, Prabhupada also says, Madhvacharya quotes from Skanda Puran, Rite tu tatvikan devan naradading stataivacha paradharutamakonu vishnu bhaktau jagatraye. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he accepted the sannyas order of life. He was criticized by Babaji's. Why you are becoming a sannyasi varnashram dharma? Why you are not staying in liberated status like us? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said that I am not so great. I am simply trying to carry out the service to Guru and Gauranga. Lord Chaitanya, he was sitting in Gundicha Mandir hearing Ramananda Rai and Sarup Damodar speak from the 10th canto and about Krishna's Rasleela. He is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani. That is his position to enjoy. I am not Krishna. I am not Lord Chaitanya. I am the servant of his servant of his servant's servant. And he has ordered the Jare Dako Tare Koho Krishna Upadesh. So I am simply accepting the humble service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am not so great that I can imitate him. But by his mercy, if I am able to understand Krishna consciousness, that will be my fortune. I cannot imitate. So the devotees take the mood as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the prayer that Srila Prabhupada has given when he came to this Western world. That is the instruction repeatedly given. That is our secret of success. That we should serve the spiritual master first. Nrsimhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came because Prahlad Maharaj was his humble, non-envious, surrendered devotee. This morning we heard how we should pray that Nrsimhadev sit in our heart. We should pray that he reside there, and by his transcendental Virajaman presence, all the evil, all the dirty, all the materialistic desires, thoughts, and contaminations will be immediately eradicated. This is a sincere and just prayer by the devotee to the Lord to kindly, in spite of my unqualified nature, if you will have mercy and be present in my heart so that I can simply serve you without any impediment. This is only possible by the mercy of the spiritual master, that the Lord will reside in one's heart. So we should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. This is what Srila Prabhupada said. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Narada Muni was struck by lightning, and immediately he received his sarup, deho. He received his spiritual form. When the time is ripe, Krishna reveals everything. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga payojita janayadyasu vairagam yatta jnanam haitukam. Causelessly it comes on its own accord by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So, take this opportunity to pray to our spiritual master that by his presence in our heart, that the Supreme Lord Narsimhadev, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, can be present within our heart. With them in our heart, then where is there any scope for contamination? Thank you very much.